City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 574. I'm Amy Matheny, welcoming back
Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell.
Hi.
I just love looking into your eyes.
I know, back on the couch.
Are you on a little bit of, like, literally, you just blew in.
I mean, I haven't even been home.
24 hours.
No, I haven't even been home
no.
24 hours, no.
And you, and this is how committed you are to the Queercast listeners, that they're hungry for you and you're here on the couch. But honestly, I told Mitchell, I was like, don't tell me anything about your trip. Like, come downstairs. I'm going to get you some crackers and hummus. Because I'm a good lesbian.
I just housed that crackers and hummus.
That's good. And sit on the couch with me and let me hear about your escapades and your trip and your travel. And we'll share all that with everybody else.
There's just so much going on in the world.
Oh, my God. There's so much going on in the world.
Arkansas and
Idaho.
Idaho and
all these crazy places one would never think. I know.
A million things.
Gay marriage is spreading like a venereal disease, which is great.
And gay jocks.
And gay jocks.
Right.
Which probably contribute to the venereal disease. or the straps,
that's gay jock itch.
Exactly. Yeah, Michael Sam, finally, we know that he is drafted. He is now the first out NFL player. He will be for the Rams, which I think is just funny.
I know.
That it's the Rams.
It's the, obviously, it's the kiss that's got everybody all up in arms. I saw this video that's gone viral of this chick on some Dallas morning news show. She literally stormed off.
What?
Because she was so mad that her children had to see it.
What? Do they watch Modern Family? Do they watch anything
honestly,
else on
where,
television?
Who are these people? Relax.
Relax.
I don't. If you have, you have to warn people you're going to show children that. I mean, honestly.
Children see that all the time.
Children don't care.
Children don't care. They think kissing is gross, whether you're two boys,
right,
a girl and a boy, or two guys.
They don't get it.
Kissing is gross.
You frigid bitch. Nobody cares except for you.
Oh, God.
I'm back, people. I'm back.
Mitchell's back. I mean, I obviously an emotional thing because he was picked like almost 250th. So the wait, right, and in the final round, and was he going to get picked?
Right.
Obviously, you know, coming from University of Missouri and getting to stay in Missouri and be with the Rams is super, super cool, I think, for kind of some state pride. And you know, it was down to the wire there.
Yeah,
of, like, was this going to happen? And interestingly enough, though, peppered throughout the past weeks in the Queercast news from Windy City Times that we've been bringing you all listening, you know, high school basketball players and more players
coming out,
you know, male players. It's, you know, it's now it's all the male players coming out because we had a wave of women players coming out, whether it be in basketball or hockey or soccer or whatever.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's such a different generation. Depending on where you live.
That's right.
Like, for example, I just was hanging out with all these circus. We'll talk about that later, but I was hanging out with all these young circus performers in London. And by hang out, I mean partying like I think I'm 22.
Yes.
And then being fucking exhausted.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, and it's all these, I'll tell you the
Yeah.
Stay tuned for the debauched stories. Yes. But all these adorable straight boys and girls who could not give a fuck. Then on the ship that I was just on, there's a Cirque show on the ship. Not Cirque du Soleil, but it's called Cirque Dreams and Dinner. And
yep.
It's like a circus show on a ship, which is remarkable when you consider that it's moving. Oh, that's so cool. Moving.
And also because you're there doing comedy, but you have such a love and knowledge of all the circus.
Exactly. So, you know, the circus, there's other entertainers in the ship. And I thought, oh, I'll get to know all these people. It's so cool. And I have this connection to the circus. And oh, my God, the homophobia of the circus performers. Mostly Russian, I must say.
Oh,
sorry, Russians.
Well, there you go.
If you're Russian and you're listening, you're offended by it, get over it because it's your people and they're fucking homophobes. And it was
Really, it's a culture now there. Culture. I mean they're scared to have a thought that's other than that, you know?
These people travel the world. These people don't even live in Russia. These circus performers who travel the world. It was remarkable.
So you didn't get chummy with the circus performers?
A couple that weren't like that, you know, but...
But
the majority were. And it was shocking to me.
Huh.
You know, especially...
coming from
I know that there's a sort of a, I hate to say it to my circus people, but there's a white trashy quality to some old school circusy behavior that involves that kind of homophobia, whether it's American or Russian or whatever
Canadian, whatever it is.
But it's so interesting. And then I meet all these kids in London and they're the absolute opposite. And they were from Berlin and they were from Kazakhstan and it was this international group of young people, specifically the boys, I guess I'm talking about, and they were the opposite of that. It's so interesting. Huh?
Well, definitely different the Western and Eastern mentality too.
Yes,
which is definitely gonna, you know, come into play. And I just think Russia is just, you know, I watched a really interesting interview on Charlie Rose. I've watched a few interesting things on public television these past few days. But Charlie Rose last week with the two of the girls from Pussy Riot, the band, the Russian singers, girls who were, charged and put jailed for, doing the performance art protest. And, they were so articulate. They were so articulate and so emphatic that what's going on in their country, you know, is so profound. It's so profound and it's so deep and it's so pervasive and it's... and that it is going to take young people or people standing up and putting themselves potentially in danger to change things, you know, and making sacrifices. And that's what you do. That's just what you do, you know. And it was really interesting to hear them be so articulate sitting across the table, these young, early 20-something-year-old women.
Yeah.
Across the desk, you know, from another country, you have translators with Charlie Rose, you know, and speaking just so eloquently and clear-headedly about what was their point, what this means, what their, you know, what their actions meant for themselves, for the country, you know, what other people are going to need to do, what they're going to continue to do. It was really, really, really powerful stuff. And then we do, you know, we have it changing, like you said, you know, Arkansas and Virginia. I mean, I think of Virginia as being the first state, you know, that was really held up, you know, a decade and a half ago of like the couple that was, you know, getting married, the couple that was together a long time and the partner was sick and the parents were, you know, keeping the lover away. And that was very high profile. It was made into like a movie, Lifetime movie with Cherry Jones and Brooke Shields. And, you know, it was kind of like one of those first stories even before like the Colonel Margaretta Kammermeyer story with Glenn Close. It was done on television and therefore
produced
people saw
it,
right? Produced by Barbara.
Thank you.
And
Happy Gay Christmas, though. We missed that, which was Barbara and Shirley MacLaine's birthday.
Yes.
April 24th. I'm just saying we just
24th,
missed it.
We just missed it. Yeah. Christmas Eve in the summer. but yeah, so, you know, change is coming. You know, it is really coming to all these states and everything that happened 1 year ago, almost to the date, in the Supreme Court with Windsor versus the U.S. and also, you know, Prop 8. Definitely
was
Windsor.
A year ago, right,
it was
June?
About a year ago. Yeah, June, early June. That like in a year, like how many states now have same-sex marriage? How many states, you know, now their court systems are, you know, have cases where couples are saying it's unconstitutional, and judges are having to say, "You're right. It is unconstitutional."
Right. I can't find a reason.
So, I mean, this is kind of the fallout or the domino effect or the dividends of what happened a year ago.
Yeah.
And it is happening. It is happening and it's happening quickly. On a fun light note, watched part one of Modern Family's Mitch and Cam wedding.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about that. Last night, I could not get Channel 7 to come in.
Well, was it I saved it.
It wasn't... Are you sure? Have you watched any of it?
Yes.
And it wasn't just going in and out?
No.
It's weird. My TV just Channel 7, not any other channel, but ABC on my TV last night. Because I was like, I'm home.
Did you watch it on the high def or just the...
No, just regular TV.
Okay. You have high def up there.
I don't.
Oh, you don't.
Mm-mm. No, I live in the dark ages.
Well, I will see, but you can watch it down here.
I'll watch it down here.
You can watch it down here at night. Yeah, it's going to be really funny. And what I loved is they've done it in two parts. In the part two, they kind of set up like a disaster movie trailer, which is really, really, really funny. Right in time for like summer movie blockbuster type thing.
It's really
thing.
Funny.
So it's...
it reminds me of, not that I've seen any of it, but like, do you remember, I mean, you may be too young for this, Rhoda's Wedding? Do you remember Rhoda's wedding? When it's like Phyllis was supposed to pick her up and she didn't pick her up and then she had to run through the streets of New York City in her wedding dress. I just love that they turned Rhoda's wedding into a disaster.
That's right. An action episode. Yeah,
it's so good.
So I am enjoying that, and I also love that they've brought some real weight to, you know, kind of what we're talking about. This part, you know, the parts of the country who are not fully embracing us, or the people in the country who are either staying quiet or going, I've accepted you enough, or the people who are saying, I don't accept this at all.
Right.
And I think what's interesting on Modern Family is that, you know, we'll see what they do between now, the next episode, and even next season. You know, they really kind of have shown a light on how, even though it's comical, Jay, Mitchell's dad, you know, his uncomfortableness with, you know, Mitch and Cam has kind of come to light in the wake of this wedding. And I won't say it's gone dark or gone heavy, but it's gone real.
Right.
You know, there were some
like
real
Bert Hummel,
moments.
Right, like when Bert Hummel first, when Kurt came out on Glee.
That's right.
Right, Bert had to sort of like, not came out because he knew, but like had to like
that's right.
work through those feelings.
Yeah, except he's a kinder and gentler dad than Jay, so it's really interesting to see kind of this gruff man, you know, and also to see a character like Mitchell, who is a different age than somebody like Kurt on Glee, you know, a grown man, really had the esteem to stand up for himself and really say, this is your thing, and you are treating me different than, you know, my sister. And if the tides were turned, you'd be being different about this. I'm really saying those things,
wow,
you know, that's that
really
I think is really pushing.
Was that on last night's episode?
No, not last.
It's been
the
leading
week before.
Up,
the week before.
I've missed the whole thing. I've missed so much TV. I've missed so much pop culture.
Yeah, no, you're going to be living on demand.
I have. Exactly, because I've missed the Game of Thrones season has started.
Yeah.
And although I've caught up on Downton on the ship. It's interesting. Speaking of this whole gay marriage thing. So like, you know, I do this show on a ship.
Right.
And
you've been gone. You were
since
gone
January 25th.
Since January 25th,
and you know, cruise ship audiences I've talked about before are particularly conservative,
right?
In
and
general.
You were docking in Miami.
Miami, yeah.
So you pick up your crew. You pick up your passengers in Miami.
Yeah, and for the most part, they're older. They're conservative. They're white.
Mm-hmm.
They're also grossly overweight, but that's a whole other thing. But so this is the general demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, there has been this, like, you can feel this, although I've never, I always find an opportunity to out myself, especially in an improv set, you know, mm-hmm. so like, they know exactly what they're getting. You got something to say about it? Take me on.
Yep.
Especially in an improv set. But even in the sketch set, I got to sort of like, with the director's sort of help, got to queer it up a little bit just in certain scenes. Just implied, like, mm-hmm. you know, if I enter with a guy, it's implicit that we're a couple,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't mm-hmm. have, it didn't have to be boy, girl, all
right.
the time, which was nice. But, you know, so the issue of gay marriage came up every once in a while in an improv. And I have to say, there was a slight, mm-hmm. but a slight turn in the, sort of blanket acceptance of it,
mm-hmm.
more so than other contracts, which I thought was very interesting, but I could feel it.
Yeah, interesting.
It wasn't, you know, I'm not saying, I mean, I never heard anything homophobic, I'm not saying it was like a bursting into applause kind of
or
thing.
Or laughter or enjoying it or...
But yeah, no, there was laughter and enjoying it and like very little, I could feel very little audience resistance to going there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very respectful cast. I mean, one of my cast members was gay, as was my musical director, which very rarely happens.
Yes, you had compatriots who I know.
Yes, exactly, yes. And we talked about you a lot.
Yeah.
And so when we would sort of put queer content into the show, improvisationally, you know, if two of us would enter and get a suggestion, and the suggestion was a relationship, we would play it. And, you know, the cast members, including the straight guys, were very respectful of not doing anything stereotypical or pandering. Mm-hmm. And so when we presented queer stories, mm-hmm. which we did often as the two girls too, they were very, my cast members were incredibly smart because they're smart improvisers, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the audience can't help but go along with us.
Right.
We're not going to give you what, if you yelled, they're gay. Like, for example, once I asked for, can I get a relationship between two people, like father and son or teacher and student? Like, they're gay. I was like, okay, what you're saying is that they're in a relationship, but I want something more specific than they're gay. Like, if I asked for a relationship, you wouldn't say, it's a guy and a girl. Right?
You're just,
I've already told you they're in a relationship. I'm asking you for what the specific relationship is. And the audience was like, oh. Like, at first they didn't get it, but I was trying to be next level with them.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because they're, I would say 80% of the time this contract, it was successful.
Huh.
Which is just a little bit of a shift.
No, but you can see it, and that's what I mean. I mean, I think it's just
even
like
in that
slow
crowd.
And steady.
Yeah.
And that's great that you could even experience it.
I could
on
perceive
this
it. I could perceive it in a, not like a, like I said, not in a major way. It wasn't like we'd do a gay scene and they'd be like, good for you, fellas. You know,
right,
it was like,
right.
Nobody's waving flags. But nobody, I didn't feel any pushback.
Yeah.
And
that's massive. It was
massive.
That's definitely different than sometimes when you've come back.
Yeah,
off the boat.
It was massive. And this was The Crossing, for example. When we, you know, I mean, we can talk about this later, but we did the last 11 days of the cruise were at crossing from Miami to Barcelona, mm-hmm. right? So we were at sea for 7 days, went to Madeira, and then two more days at sea, and then got off in Barcelona. So The Crossing is almost always a median age of like 70 years old.
Uh-huh.
Like average age of 70 years
Jeez.
Old. Because you're on it. It's just people who are retired and want to be pampered for a week on a ship, like being in a hotel with nowhere to go. Because it's a casino and there's a pool and there's a sauna and there's movies and there's bowling alleys and shows. And so we did a lot of shows. And we were sort of complaining a little bit to our company manager saying, these people are not coming to our shows. They're not coming 18 times to our show.
Right.
You know? There's no way. They don't. In general, older people don't get our kind of sense of humor anyway.
Right.
And we had some of the best audiences on The Crossing.
Huh.
It ended up being fascinating. One couple, had to be in their 60s, late 60s, came to 16 out of our 18 shows.
Are you kidding me?
16 out of 18. Sat in the front row, saw shows over and over. Like, we did sketch shows and improv, so we repeat the sketch shows a couple of times.
Yeah.
And they even came back to those.
How funny is
that? Yeah, it was fascinating. And I thought, these were not the people that I would predict would come, and they did. And so
cruising culture is changing, too.
A little bit. But I think what's interesting is that
and people
cruise
are changing.
Culture is, the cruise culture is pretty indicative of a fairly mainstream, and by mainstream, I don't mean that in a positive way.
Yes.
Section of our country.
Yeah, it's a good litmus test as to what the people outside of our gay bubble think.
Exactly. And yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say in my incredibly long-winded way. And maybe there's a slight shift.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Great.
Well, we have an NFL player that's gay. We have a couple that they've been prepping to have them get them married for a year, you know, because obviously they announced it this time last year. That was their season finale was with Prop 8, which is how they knew they were going to be able to get married. And you know, and we have everything happening state to state.
And Neil Patrick Harris is killing it on Broadway.
He is killing it.
Have you read
it.
His reviews?
No, I have. I've read a few of them.
They're crazy raves.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if he wins the Tony.
Yeah. That would be super, super cool.
Wouldn't that
too.
Be cool?
I would love that.
If he hosts and wins the Tony.
Exactly.
Oh, no, he's not hosting because he's up for Tony. Hugh Jackman is hosting.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's hosting this year.
Please let Neil Patrick Harris, please, gay God, let Neil Patrick Harris win the Tony Award for Best Actor.
That would be great. Then Hugh would have won for a gay guy, and then Neil Patrick will win for a transgender person.
Hey, should we watch together and then podcast the Tonys?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think we should?
Absolutely.
I mean.
For sure, for sure.
I mean, who are we kidding here?
I don't know. We should for sure. Hey, I just want to send out a plug and that is a choice word, for IML this weekend, International Mr. Leather.
Is it this weekend or is it the next
and
weekend?
And Bear Pride. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, you're right. It's Memorial Day weekend.
It's this weekend. Right. So,
it's also Rachel Hamilton's birthday. Shout out to
there
Rachel.
There you go. Shout out to Rachel. She and the Leather Guys and the Harry Boys. So it's pretty exciting. I know tons of people are going to be in town for that, and be safe and have fun. And we'll have a new International Mr. Leather crowned.
What if I'm International Mr. Leather and you just don't know it yet? What if I'm in competition?
I'm so hot.
What
right
if
now.
I'm like? What if I'm like Mr. Mr. Andersonville or something like that? And you don't even know.
You are Mr. Andersonville.
No, I mean,
you're
like,
Mr. Nook.
I'm Mr. Nook. I am. Which also goes with the plug.
It's true, Mr. Nook.
Put
goes
your
with plug, the
plug in my Nook.
We'll be back, and Mitchell's going to tell us about some of his travels this show. We can't possibly contain it all in one show, I'm sure. But news and what's going on in the theater right now.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. U.S. Magistrate Judge Candy Dale has ruled Idaho's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional, opening the door for gay and lesbian couples to begin marrying as soon as May 16th. Four Idaho couples in November filed a lawsuit against the governor and Ada County Clerk Chris Rich, challenging the marriage ban. Governor Butch Otter filed a preemptive motion requesting an immediate stay should the state lose earlier on May 12th.
On ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said that medical regulations barring transgender people from serving in the military continually should be reviewed. An estimated 15,000 transgender service members currently serve in constant fear and stress.
An Arkansas clerk has issued the state's first gay marriage license, breaking a barrier that voters put in place with a constitutional amendment a decade ago. Pulaski County Circuit Judge Chris Piazza ruled May 9th that Arkansas's 2004 voter-approved amendment to the state's constitution violates the rights of gay couples. He did not put his ruling on hold, as some judges in other states have done.
American Idol runner-up Clay Aiken has won the Democratic nomination for Congress in North Carolina after the untimely death of Keith Crisco, age 71, Aiken's Democratic opponent. The Board of Elections posted its official count in the Democratic primary for the state's second congressional district, with Aiken besting Crisco by only 390 votes.
U.S. Senators Patty Murray and Mark Udall introduced legislation to amend the federal code to ensure all lawfully married same-sex couples will receive Social Security spousal benefits. Since the Supreme Court decision last June in Windsor v. U.S., striking down a key section of the so-called DOMA, the Obama administration has proceeded in implementing the decision across the federal government.
King County Superior Court Judge Mary Yu was appointed to the Washington State Supreme Court, becoming the first openly gay justice, as well as the first Asian American to serve on the state's high court.
A legal challenge to Virginia's same-sex marriage ban went before the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals May 13th, resulting in a split court that could very well end up striking down the ban. Virginia's attorney general has declined to defend his state's ban after determining that it is unconstitutional.
Five gay couples filed a lawsuit challenging Alaska's ban on same-sex marriage as unconstitutional. The Alaska lawsuit was filed 3 days after a county circuit judge in Arkansas tossed out the 2004 constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage, along with a 1997 state law.
In Philadelphia, city officials have agreed to pay $382,500 to settle the federal anti-bias lawsuit that transgender city worker Bobby E. Burnett filed. Burnett, a city library assistant, filed suit in 2009 claiming pervasive anti-LGBT workplace bias.
The Illinois Senate Education Committee passed a bill May 13th that further enhances the state's previous standards in curbing school bullying. The bill, HB 5707, requires schools to have an anti-bullying policy, investigate bullying cases, and report back on all incidences yearly. The bill now heads to the full Senate.
Police are investigating the murder of a Philadelphia man who met his killer using the gay hookup app Grindr. Dino Dzarevich, a 25-year-old chemical engineer, was found beaten and strangled to death in an overgrown lot in Chester, Pennsylvania.
In Mississippi, the Bay St. Louis City Council unanimously passed a measure recognizing the dignity and worth of all city residents, including LGBT people. Bay City Louis becomes the sixth Mississippi city after Starkville, Hattiesburg, Greenville, Magnolia, and Oxford to pass a pro-LGBT measure.
Jack Conway announced that he will pursue the Democratic nomination, an open seat for governor of Kentucky in November 2015. The Democratic State Attorney General and 2010 U.S. Senate candidate made national headlines when he announced that he would not appeal a court ruling that forced Kentucky to recognize out-of-state same-sex marriages.
The United Methodist Church has dropped charges against Reverend Sarah Thompson Tweedy, who is married to another woman. Tweedy is on staff at a church in White Plains, New York, and was charged as a self-avowed practicing homosexual. However, Bishop Martin McLee, who was charged with handling the petition, decided not to press charges.
Lawmakers have rejected a measure that would have made it illegal to refuse to sell or lease property to same-sex couples in Louisiana solely because they are gay, the latest setback for groups trying to advance gay rights legislation in the state. Three Democrats joined the nine Republicans on the House Commerce Committee in rejecting the measure 12-3. The committee had previously rejected a similar proposal seeking to protect gays from housing discrimination.
U.S. District Judge Richard Young has ruled that Indiana must indefinitely recognize one same-sex couple's out-of-state marriage. U.S. District Judge Richard Young's decision extended a temporary restraining order he handed down last month. So Amy Sandler and Nikki Quasney, both 37, are the only same-sex couple to have their marriage legally recognized in Indiana.
In world news, a Ugandan court started hearing the case against two Ugandans accused of engaging in gay sex, the first such trial since a severe law was enacted in February. Gay businessman Kim Mukisa, 24, and Jackson Mukasa, 19, a transgender woman, pleaded not guilty after being accused as living as husband and wife. Ugandan police arrested the couple in January as they fled an angry mob.
Hundreds of thousands of gay rights supporters, many wearing elaborate, colorful costumes, marched through the Brazilian city of Sao Paulo on May 4th in one of the world's biggest gay pride parades. Though many celebrated Brazil's hosting of soccer's World Cup next month, there was an undertone of seriousness as organizers demanded that Brazil pass laws making homophobia a crime, including discrimination against LGBT people. While Brazil's Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage in 2011, conservative lawmakers and religious leaders oppose federal legislation granting more rights to gays.
The 2014 Eurovision Song Contest winner was Conchita Wurst, the bearded drag queen alter ego of 25-year-old Austrian Thomas Neuwirth. Wurst got audiences' attention by challenging stereotypes of masculine and feminine beauty with the song Rise Like a Phoenix.
An HIV-positive gay teenager has written an open letter calling the UK government to make sex education compulsory. Luke Alexander, 19, discovered he had HIV a year ago and said he received absolutely no information about it when he was at school, adding that he may have avoided becoming infected as if he had. A United Kingdom survey that the Sex Education Forum carried out found 1 in 4 young people learn nothing about HIV at school.
In entertainment news, openly gay football player Michael Sam from the University of Missouri was drafted by the St. Louis Rams in the NFL's 7th round. He is the first openly gay player drafted by an NFL team. Sam was named Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year and has been selected the 2014 winner of the Arthur Ashe Courage Award, an award given to individuals who transcend sports. The 2014 ESPYs air on July 16th on ESPN.
Openly gay actor Sir Ian McKellen will play Sherlock Holmes in A Slight Trick of the Mind. The film depicts him working on his final case, age 63, and also as a retired man in Sussex, age 91, mentally frail and obsessed with the unsolved crime. The Bill Condon-directed movie also will feature Laura Linney as his housekeeper, Mrs. Monroe.
Derek Gordon, the 22-year-old who is the first openly gay men's college basketball player, is dating 47-year-old CSI actor Gerald McCulloch. The two arrived at the recent GLAAD Media Awards in New York City and kissed on the red carpet.
NBC will bring a live version of The Music Man to television. News of the adaptation of the 1957 musical follows previously announced plans for a live rendition of Peter Pan. The Music Man will happen after the December 4th premiere of Peter Pan Live, which is currently being cast.
MTV's True Life, I'm a Gay Athlete, provided an inside look at the lives of two college athletes as they are torn between their love of sports and the fear of coming out to their families and teammates about their sexuality. True Life, I'm a Gay Athlete joins MTV's recently launched Look Different campaign, a multi-year initiative empowering youth to better counter the biases all around people. The May 7th episode spotlighted gay rower Steven and lesbian cheerleader Desiree.
Kristen Chenoweth will star in the Broadway revival of On the 20th Century, playing opposite Peter Gallagher in a show Scott Ellis is directing. The musical, put on by Roundabout Theater Company, will begin previews in February of 2015. The show about a difficult actress and a director originally opened on Broadway in 1978 and won a Tony Award for Best Book and Best Original Music.
And the producers of ABC's hit TV comedy Modern Family celebrated the show's same-sex wedding episodes by covering the cost of all New Yorkers exchanging vows at the city clerk's office on May 12th. The Mitch Cam Modern Family Wedding airs on May 14th and 21st. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 19th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Last five performances. Don't miss Cicada, the Jeff-nominated, highly recommended world premiere by openly gay playwright Jerry Guy. Authentic, says the Chicago Tribune, one of the best casts to set foot on a Chicago stage. I dare you not to be moved, says Showbiz Chicago. Cicada must close this Sunday, May 25th. Cicada has its final shows this Thursday through Sunday at the Greenhouse Theater Center. For tickets, visit cicadatheplay.com.
Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche, the hilarious cult hit comedy, asks all attendees of its 1956 church basement quiche breakfast to always represent the egg. Don't miss the play that won Best Overall Production at the New York International Fringe Festival, playing now at the Chopin Theater. Buy tickets at fivelesbianseatingaquiche.com.
Hit the Wall, the smash hit, is playing now at the Greenhouse Theater. In this recount of the 1969 Stonewall Riots, meet 10 unlikely revolutionaries who jumpstart the modern gay rights movement. Don't miss the show that the Chicago Tribune says feels like a scene, a party, a kind of interactive historical happening with a punch. Buy tickets at greenhousetheater.org.
Tennessee Williams came to New Orleans in 1938 to start his career as a writer and his life as a gay man. See his autobiographical play, Vous Carré, at Raven Theater in Edgewater. For tickets to Vous Carré, visit raventheater.com, playing now through June 28th.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com.
So Mitchell Fain has been gone since mid-January. And you know what's weird about our friendship and our relationship? You know, I was talking to Cecilia, who's doing Cicada with me. Mm-hmm. We only have one more weekend, guys. So come. We have five more shows. We close May 25th. Cecilia was like, how long's Mitchell lived here? And I was like, pretty much since the beginning. And he's gone, you know, gone away almost every year except the first year. And I said, you know, it's just this interesting thing. Like, he goes away and it just feels like all this stuff happens for me, all this stuff happens for him. But then he like walks back in and we kind of talk about it in one conversation. Then we just pick up.
Right. Like, let's go. It's what, like, happened? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, that's tragic.
It's like,
oh, that's amazing.
It's like a few hour conversation, then it's like done. And then we're like caught up and it's like, but those were like 4 months. And you generally, four it's months. Like a gauntlet of stuff that happens for both of us.
Oh,
but,
boy, stuff happened. Yeah.
So, okay. So you go out on these boats with Second City this year. You were touring what region?
Caribbean. So we went to Jamaica.
Ooh, and that's scary.
Yeah, but I found a little, I found some little niches that I enjoyed. There's a beach right off the ship. You don't even
they
really
kill
have to
us, you know, in Jamaica.
I know.
It's not good.
I know.
I hope you didn't spend any money in Jamaica.
Well, I had originally vowed not to.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not giving these people my money.
Yeah.
But then I ventured out a couple of times just to get like a coffee because it's good coffee in Jamaica. And I sort of stayed within the area that is the port.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I found people very kind, like the general person.
Yeah.
And so I sort of found my places to
you
go. You
got to be a dude there. I don't feel comfortable there as a woman.
No.
And as a gay woman, it's like scary as hell.
Yes. Having said
nobody
that,
would think I was a gay woman. I mean, right. Unless I was sticking my tongue down a woman's throat in front of them. But
the area around the port, even the sort of if you go to the main road, is very aware that the cruise port is in town, and there's a lot of people out there to protect people.
I am
from
sure
the cruise.
Because they don't.
I wouldn't
want
venture
the bad,
too far. Right.
Yeah, they don't want the bad publicity that it's not a wonderful place to dock and spend lots
right.
of money.
I mean, I didn't.
It's a
go
different King- culture than
it
like,
is. And I didn't go to Kingston, and I didn't go to the other sort of inner
to the bay.
Montego Bay. No. We went right. I can't even remember the name of the.
Yeah, but you were in a very different area, which is extremely safe and touristy and
it was because it was touristy.
And,
and they literally, like the restaurant, this one restaurant that I went to, they literally hire these people to keep locals from bothering the tourists.
Yeah.
And so it felt very protected. Mostly I just want to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Have a cup of iced coffee and go to the beach, which I managed to do. But yes, it was not some place that I spent
so
money.
So you were in Jamaica. You were then in...
Jamaica. And then we went to two places I've been before, which is Costa Maya, Mexico, which is in...
and you love Costa Maya, right?
I love it so
much. We have to talk about that.
It's my favorite.
I need somewhere to go on.
I did find out on my last day there, I was getting a massage.
Uh-huh.
And I'd gotten a massage from this entire family. The mother, the father, and the two sons are all massage therapists.
Uh-huh.
And over the course of the, you know... 3 months, I got massages from each one of them.
Funny.
They all work.
The family.
The family.
You got the family so deal. The family plan. Like, that's the Verizon family plan right there.
And so one of the sons told me on the very last day that there's a nude beach. Like, it's so not a nude beach place because it's very Catholic, you know. And then on the very last day I was there, he's like, oh, there's a nude beach just in walking distance of here. I was like, what?
Huh.
What?
Have you ever gotten sick in Mexico?
No.
You don't ever get sick from the food?
No, never for the food. I don't drink the water because I don't even know if that's true anymore. But
it is.
This thing, don't drink the water, is like this phrase in my head. But the food, no, fantastic.
That's great. Amazing. Yeah, I had great food.
I mean, I found these places in Costa Maya that are owned by like, this one guy's an expat from Dallas and he married a beautiful Mexican woman and they have a baby and we always go to his place. Shout out to National Beach Club. And it's a magical little place where everything is fresh and he is so excited and a lot of the crew hangs out there and there's both a pool and you're as far the water is as close is closer than the house across the street so like you're literally just on the beach
like 10 yards
and then so I love it there. That was great.
And is it gay friendly, Costa Maya? Do you
it
feel
is.
comfortable?
In fact, I took a picture. I put it on Facebook. I walked by this one hotel in this tiny little Costa Maya where it had a rainbow flag on the hotel.
Oh, nice. Maybe
so, yeah, I mean, I don't
send
think it's
us that for the show notes.
I'll send it to Doc. It's not explicitly so, but it's
comfortable,
but
welcoming.
I never ever felt
open.
Safe. And then Cozumel, which is more like a city.
Yeah.
I guess Cozumel is in Quintana Roo. Anyway, it's fabulous and also very much gay friendly. I mean,
they are very
people.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous town, and there's this amazing restaurant that sort of off the beaten path called Le Chef that all the people who know about it go to, and the owner. It's fabulous. So I love those two places. So we did that run for 3 months until we went to the until we crossed the Atlantic.
So basically those three, Jamaica, Cozumel,
Costa Maya. So Miami on Sunday, Jamaica on Tuesday, and then Thursday and Friday in Costa Maya, Cozumel, and then back to sea.
So when you're doing these, you know, when you have such a routine, you have such a schedule, like you're in Miami, you're in Jamaica, you're in, you know.
And we had a lot of shows. On my other contracts, I've told you guys that we barely work.
This
is very different because this ship has a theater for us, a comedy club. So we worked every day except Sunday. We did 15 shows a week.
Okay. So you worked. You earned your keep this time.
Oh, we worked. We worked a lot.
Do you find, I mean, you mentioned a couple people, but do you find that you make friendships or have your regular routine and you know, in each one of these areas?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I like to get off at a certain time. I go to the same place. I get my coffee. I find my Wi-Fi. I get my massage. I get my mango margarita. You know what I mean?
Did you hang out mostly with your cast?
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, there were some other people on the ship that I really enjoyed.
And what do they do?
Different, like dancers or singers or entertainers.
And
or
you all kind of connect or meet each other?
We do, because the entertainment department is sort of connected in a way, and we all have similar schedules, right? So we're all running in and out of the same offices or, you know, and we put on a crew show, like a show that we did specifically for the crew. We did actually did two, and that was really fun. So the rest of the crew gets to know us, and we get to know the techs, you know, who run our shows. And, I met this dancer on the ship. Nickelodeon has a presence on the ship. They do like kids shows, you know. He's a dancer who's working as with Nickelodeon, you know. They do like Dora's Dance Party, and it's adorable. It's for the kids at Nickelodeon. I'm wearing a little bracelet, the Pajama Jam, which is like a little morning dance party for kids. Anyway, one of them and I
you have a sparkle in your eye.
He's a pretty special guy. And we had a really good time. So he became
On the boat the whole time you were?
Yeah, he left right before the crossing. So I did the crossing without him, which was sad because there was a lot of free time on the crossing. But he and I clicked in a way. And it was cool because he also had his own. He had been on the ship for a while, so he had his own sort of like path in the different towns. But on the ship, at sea, we spent a lot of time together, watched a lot of movies, did a lot of cuddling. It's very small rooms, but that was nice this time to have like a ship boyfriend in a way. I mean, it wasn't all that serious, but it was really nice.
Yeah.
And, first, I thought it was just be like someone to mess around with, but we ended up really liking each other.
Yeah.
And that was sort of lovely, this trip, to have like a... So anyway, hi, Josh.
So it was less like you, you know, I don't know, just looking to have fun, maybe at the first, but then I mean, you kind of... I mean, it's like a showmance, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like you really have like this thing where it's like, okay, we totally know it doesn't work off this boat, or it this is a time, you know, relationships that are time, a season, or a reason, and this is just a time.
But we had a lifetime. Really, really great time. He's an incredibly sweet guy, super talented. I'm hoping that he comes to visit this summer. I think he's going to try to come and see Midnight Circus this summer.
Super.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Right? And actually, another one of my ship friends, not from this contract, but in a different contract, a singer named Lisa, who I just randomly saw in Barcelona. I was in Barcelona, and she said, she Facebooked me. She's like, are you in Barcelona right now? I was like, yeah. She's like, I'm going to be there tonight. Let's hang out. So we did. But she's actually coming to Chicago in August for her birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's fun. The global
I mean, aspect
that
of
is,
it all.
That's the great thing is that you meet all these people from everywhere. You know, you meet Scottish people and Portuguese people, and I mean, just we hung out on also on the ship. There's a Blue Man cast. The Blue Man group is on the ship.
Oh, okay.
And always is. They have their own.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have a residence on this ship. So there's four Blue Men who rotate in and out of the show. Right, there's only three in them at the time, but so that they don't have to work all the time. And they turned out to be these great guys that we spent a lot of time with and hung out and, you know, cabin parties. And I actually sat in one night. They were doing like a set of music in the crew bar, and I sang Rainbow Connection.
You did.
With the band. You know, I hate to sing in public unless it's within the context of a show.
Yeah.
I sang Rainbow Connection. Then I also sang backup for with a little help from my friends.
Awesome.
So that was really, that was fun. That was something out of my box. And yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. working this many shows on a ship was a very different experience for me.
Yeah. But I know you've had shows where you're like, you don't entirely love the stops, or you see them once and you don't right. really get digging deep, or maybe you the cast you don't connect with as much, or, you know, I mean, I know last year you didn't have a lot of shows,
right.
you know, and I mean, it's kind of nice to have a purpose, yeah. you know, because you didn't feel like, I mean, it's not like you can't do something different in Jamaica the following week, you know what I mean? Right. Or Cozumel the yes. following week. If you were going to places like, I'm only going to this place this one time and I'm tired and I don't want to go hit it hard, you yeah. know, be different.
Exactly.
But it feels like, you know, it's kind of nice to have the purpose, to have the show, and then just to have the consistency of like, oh, what do I want to do when we dock here?
And I do feel like I made some new friends, like with cast members. There were one person I had worked with before, a couple of people that I had actually met before,
uh-huh.
like our mutual friend. And but I made some nice new friends. One of those, there was a girl in the cast, and it was her first Second City job.
Mm-hmm.
And she's young, adorable, and mm-hmm. funny as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. She yeah. was great. It was a good cast, and we had a good time.
Yeah.
We had a good time. I'm glad to be home.
I am so glad to have you home.
You know? I'm glad to be home. It was fun to...
Well, you're always ready. It's always time.
It's
always time when you're done, and it's always maybe a couple weeks too long, but we're going to talk in our next podcast about the end of your trip, because yeah. that was very different, and yeah, so you got to go do something very fun and different at the end, which doesn't always happen, you know?
Last year I went to Copenhagen,
right?
Because that's where the ship let us off, but this year it let us off in Barcelona, so then yeah. there my adventures begin.
Oh, God, I want to go to Barcelona. You're going to seduce me all about it in the next show. Everybody, I hope you have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, a nice long weekend, and enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy that as well, and closing up this show and wrapping things up and having Mitchell yeah, back big. Home and
we'll
back
talk
in
about
the
that
nook.
Next time.
Yeah, it'll be really, really good.
Yeah.
But happy Memorial Day, happy IML. And it, you know, I don't know. I feel like in this moment that I have to say, you know, just lift my hat. Lift a glass to Frankie Knuckles, because he was always such a big part of, you know, IML weekend and 4th of July weekend yeah. with his dance parties. And
yeah.
But I hope everybody has a great Memorial Day weekend. And really, it is the big kickoff to the summer, the big gay
Let's
summer.
Let's hope it actually is warm.
Yeah, it will be. It's warming up. It's warming up a little bit this past
I'm
weekend.
I'm going to lose my tan.
You're not going to lose your tan.
Am I tan?
Your tan is gorgeous.
Thank you.
You're gorgeous. I'm so glad to have you back.
I'm not sure I'm gorgeous, but my tan,
your
definitely
tan
gorgeous.
Is definitely gorgeous. Yeah. Mitchell Fain will be back with us to tell us more about the crossing over and about Barcelona and more about his travels. And so we'll be back with you It'll still be, I don't know, was it June? We'll be back in June. That's crazy. Or something like
June
that.
June is busting out.
Woo! All over. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.